Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. So Richie and I are at the house again this morning and we are recording this conversation on the same day that it goes out. So we are doing things a bit on the fly, but we just had a wonderful chat about growing an art business and in particular how to make money from your art and what we would do if we were just starting now. So it's a big topic. We've chatted about this before, but things are always changing and Instagram is changing, YouTube is changing, all the platforms that we use to share our work. So we thought it would be a good idea to revisit this topic and give you our latest thoughts on how to make an income from your art.
The first question that comes into my head, and I know you have, and like I know we took some notes when we were chatting, but it always comes back to why. Like, why do you want to do this? Do you hate your job so much that you just want to do something else? And you see one of your friends, you know, bakes cakes, or another one of your friends grooms or walks dogs and they seem happy. And you're saying, well, I do a bit of art. So maybe I could quit my job and become an artist.
Yeah, it's really important to know that it's what you want to do. Because as we get into the steps, you'll realize very quickly that it's a lot of hard work. This is a challenging environment. It's competitive. And if you want to be an artist selling your work, you are going to have to do the grind, as we often say. You're going to have to do a lot of hard work. And it's really important to know that you want it, because it's not just about making art or paintings or taking photos or whatever is your creative outlet. When you start selling your work, you have all the admin, the accounting, the marketing, learning new skills, learning how to make reels on social media, filming yourself. There's so much more. And I remember in the interview that we did with Angela Terrace, she had a really great section of that interview where she talked about, you know, make sure it's what you want.
Yeah, it's why I said it at the beginning, because when it gets hard, and it will get hard, it'll get very hard. Even when you're in your most successful moments, you're constantly questioning yourself, why am I doing this? This is too hard. I should have just stayed at my job or whatever. If your why isn't strong enough, you won't make it. I can guarantee you that. You cannot grind yourself through this. This is something that you must truly, truly want to do for yourself.
It's funny that you say that, because I actually had a day like that yesterday. You said to me, you know, how are you? And I said, oh, you know, I'm feeling a bit flat today, but I just had one of those days where I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if this is what I want. And yeah, you know, if you don't have that really strong core reason why you are doing it, that could trip you up and stop you. Whereas for me, it was kind of just one of those days. Like, I have them every now and then, and then I get up the next morning and suddenly I have an amazing idea, which is what happened. I went for a walk. I thought about this new challenge that I want to do and a new class that I want to create, and now I'm back in buzz mode. But if you don't have that at your core, you won't recover so quickly when you have those hard knocks.
And the longer you're in the game and you've had some success, the easier it is to talk yourself out of that kind of stuff. But at the very beginning, when your family are saying, are you crazy leaving your job to be an artist? And your friends are worried about you. And the people who love you, who want you to succeed, generally are the people who try and advise you against doing this because they love you. That's when your desire and your passion to want to do this needs to be bulletproof.
Absolutely. And we don't mean this episode to be discouraging. We talked about this just before we started, because we want to be very honest about what's involved in creating an art business, not to discourage you, but just to help you make that decision whether it's right for you.
If you want to know what goes through my head regularly, it's that there's not enough creators out there. And every single person listening to this podcast, I totally believe that if they choose to, they could make an income and a business for themselves.
Yeah, and if they want it enough.
If they
want it
enough.
You've just got to really want it. The other thing that I was thinking, just as you said that, was that I see a lot of creators doing amazing work, but it's not showing up in their bank account. And we want to talk about money in this conversation. We want to talk about some of the things that we would do in order to help you over time, and it's not going to happen overnight, build a sustainable business that pays the bills. So that's what we're going to get into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some of the bills.
Or some of the bills. I feel like I'm promising a bit too much here. Maybe you'll get some art supplies out of it.
Yes. Well, do you know, that's how you started.
Yeah.
And that's how I started with my photography. If I could buy a lens from a job or a couple of jobs that I did, I was over the moon. I was delighted with myself.
Yeah, we want you to be realistic about the initial earnings that you might have on an art business, because it takes time and it is exponential. There is growth, but you've got to hang in there when you are not making much. So when we were chatting earlier on today, we somehow managed to come up with some phases, stages, ingredients. Sounds very kind of marketing and official.
You were trying to intellectualize and articulate what was going on in your head. And I was kind of like, are you going to write this down? And you're like, no, why? And I went, maybe you should get a pen and paper.
So anyway, we'll attempt to go through them. And it's very interesting because these are stages that I revisit, you know, in the way that I work. So it's not necessarily linear. Some of these things you can do at the same time and you might go back to the beginning at some point. But we'll start with the first stage, which is really about learning your skills. And that's when you take a lot of classes, you might go do a workshop, try different art styles out. You may begin sharing on Instagram, but you're not yet sure about what you're doing. It can be a really fun part of the journey, but it can also be a very overwhelming time too. This is when you will have a gap in your skills. So you will see art that you want to create or things that you want to do, and your skill set won't yet be up to the level that you want it to be. So this is where you are going to be watching YouTube, you're going to be reading books, you're going to be actively practicing. If you can get onto something like an art challenge and encourage yourself to do art every day, that is going to speed up the process. What else do I want to say about this? This is experimental. You might feel a bit confused. It's the beginning. It's exciting. It's, you know what, we talked about it actually before. It's that point when you realize you want to have a creative life. You realize that maybe you were creative when you were younger, but you haven't done anything for a long time. And suddenly you go, you know what? I'm going to paint,
yeah,
or I'm going to take photographs. This is the beginning. It's a wonderful stage. It offers you a lot of freedom. You don't yet have an audience, so you don't need to worry about, you know, doing the wrong thing or going outside of your style because you don't have a style yet. Yeah. You know, this isn't a stage that you need to rush through. This is learning your craft. Throughout this conversation, I'll probably reference a few artists that we chatted to in the last season of the podcast. And one that is springing to mind is Leanna Fisher. Such a good interview, particularly around this sort of stuff about, you know, building your style and developing your work, and which is actually the second phase. I've jumped ahead.
Yeah. I'm glad you said, and you may choose to post on Instagram. I remember being on Instagram and watching YouTube of photographers, and I'm like, I'm going to take that photograph. And I'd go out and I would mimic, or I would try and take the exact same photograph, but I wouldn't put it on Instagram or Facebook because it's not mine. Do you know what I mean? But I just remember seeing photographs in books and on TV, and I'd be like, I'm taking that. So when you're just starting out and you're in this phase, do not be afraid of drawing inspiration from everywhere.
It's a really good idea. Like, practice painting paintings in other people's styles, take online courses and follow the instructions that are in that course or the tutorial. Follow it. You don't feel the pressure to put your stamp on it straight away. Do the steps, learn the techniques, get the skills, figure out where the gap is, go and seek out that, you know, knowledge that you need. And Leanna Fisher talked about doing this and not being overly involved on social media during this phase.
Yes.
And also she used the words, and I think I've mentioned them a few times, she was rigorous about it. She was rigorous about practice, 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 which leads into the second phase, which is about refinement. And this is where you start to make decisions. So you've tried all the different classes, maybe you've done a bit of pottery, you've done some painting, and then you realize there's something in there that you want to hone in on. And you won't know until you try a few things. I think when I first started dabbling in creativity, I started with writing a blog. I went and did a few classes. I did a pottery class. I did a, what was it, printmaking class, a few different things. I wasn't yet sure. I thought maybe cooking could be my thing.
Yeah. Didn't you do like a public speaking thing? Or was that through work?
Oh, that was before that. You know, I went down the path of becoming a life coach. Like there was all these different things that I explored. And I had a blog back in the day called Space for Magic.
Yeah, and I remember that.
Yeah, and so this was my beginning. This was my first phase where I was just looking for the magic. I didn't know what it was yet. I didn't know whether it would be painting, journaling, sketchbook work, abstract art. I didn't yet know. I explored all different kinds of art styles. And then it wasn't until a bit later that I realized that I really enjoyed the freedom of abstract art. And I started to get more of a sense of the colors and the mark making and the materials. They played a big role. I started to notice, what do I enjoy when I'm working? What is it about the process that I like? And that's when my art started to develop. And so the second stage is about making decisions. It's a decision-making stage. You do not need to have it all figured out. You don't need to box yourself off, you know, or push yourself into a tight little corner where you can't try something different. But it is about taking away some of the overwhelm, allowing your audience, which we'll get to in a minute, to get to know what you are about, what you stand for, you know, give them a little bit of clarity. Again, doing a challenge might help, but instead of just doing a random challenge, you might choose something to focus on. So let's say you decide that you love landscapes. So you do 30 days of landscape painting, something like that. Or, you know, if there was a particular type of photography that you enjoyed, portraits, find 30 people that you can take a portrait of. So you see how you're starting to bring in some refinement, some decision making into your art and your creativity.
All of this stuff makes you so much better at your craft. You've now made the decision to specialize and now you're going all in on that. That's what you will hear any business coach in any business, they will say, pick a niche, whether it's overpopulated or it's not, and just stick at that and go for it. It's called building trust with your audience. If you're all over the place, they lose trust in you. And I don't mean trust as in trust people with your money. I'm just saying when they go to your webpage or they open you on Instagram, they can trust you to put something like a landscape up or a portrait up, like stuff like that.
You know what's coming to mind? An artist that we interviewed quite a long time ago, Inga Buiva. And,
yes.
And the title of the podcast, I think it's Painting While My Son Naps. It's such a beautiful conversation and it captures these stages. And she talks about experimenting and taking classes in the beginning and then making the decision to focus on watercolor. So just using watercolor as a medium. You know, she had particular styles that she would stick with for a month or so. So she might choose to do florals and really get good at florals. And if you go over to Inga's Instagram, you'll see that she has a cohesive look to her feed, but she's still trying out different things. I'm pretty sure she's done challenges and things like that along the way. And her Instagram account grew. You know, it does work when you bring in some of this focus. People know what to expect from you. They begin to come to you as a source of inspiration and encouragement. And that leads me into the third phase, which is one of the most important things you'll ever do as an artist. It's essential, and it's audience building.
Yes.
You will not be able to launch something, sell things, if you don't have an audience to sell to. It just doesn't work. And I wanted to linger with this phase a bit because it is such an important phase. It can take quite a long time. You could spend a year or more building your audience. You may not even be selling your work at this point. It's better if you're not, in a way, because you can then fully focus on building community and engagement. Because when you start selling, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, all the things that come with that, packaging, printing things off, doing your accounts, that all comes in and it eats into your time. When I first started, I didn't have so much of that going on, so I could spend a lot of time just posting on Instagram. And that's what grew my audience, so that then down the track when I began selling my work and launching online classes, I had people that were active and interested in what I'm doing. And often I see the case where people are very quick, or in a rush is probably a better way of putting it, in a rush to get to the selling and the marketing, and they haven't spent enough time building a community. That's one of the things I wanted to emphasize. The other part of it is be prepared to work really hard, because at the moment with Instagram, and I say Instagram, this is relevant for other platforms, but it's the main platform that I'm familiar with, and it's still the platform that I would recommend for growing an audience. But with Instagram, you are beginning to hear a lot of rumbling and grumbling that it's not possible to grow on Instagram anymore.
I bring it back to the why. I bring it back to your desire to want this, because if your desire is strong enough, those things don't matter.
It is possible to grow on Instagram.
100%.
It is absolutely possible. But what you are going to need to do is get clear around what you are doing, have a good look at how your feed appears. Is it cohesive? Is it clear? That stuff still really matters and makes a difference, particularly when you are in this stage and your goal is to grow your Instagram or whatever platform you are on. You need to be realistic about how this is done, and having a cohesive, beautifully presented, well-photographed art, you know, engaging captions, responding to comments, and posting nearly every day.
Every bloody day.
is pretty much still the only way to grow on Instagram, is to do all these things.
And it's slow, hard slogging for like 5-6 months before you see any real growth.
It could take you that long to get your first 1,000 followers. Instagram is very exponential. So once you get your first 1,000, your next 9,000, like to get up to 10, will happen a lot quicker. And it will continue to be exponential if you are putting in maximum effort. And that means sharing things, engaging with other people's content, participating in Instagram challenges, using all the features. If you continue to do all of those things, Instagram will reward you for it and you will be very tired.
I heard a great saying the other day. You showed me a video, and the person in the video said, Instagram doesn't have eyes. So Instagram doesn't care how awesome your art or your photography is. Can only tell how successful a post is by the interaction on the post. So if you get one comment, you make sure you answer that comment. If people comment and you haven't got time to comment, like those comments. And back to what you said, if you're getting 10 comments on your post, but you're too busy printing and sending stuff away or getting prepared for a market, guess what? You're not going to grow on Instagram. As you said, you need to make up your mind. Is your growth the priority, or is making 100 bucks the priority?
Yeah, I feel at this stage, setting a goal around your audience is a really good idea. And I mean putting a number on it, getting quite aggressive with it even. And, you know, I chatted with Janet Skates on the podcast quite a long time ago, and I remember her saying, you know, I set myself a goal. I wanted 50,000 Instagram followers. And, you know, these are the things that people are doing in the background. You might not realize it, but they're being very proactive. And I did it. You know, I've set myself goals. I love numbers. There have been times when I've said to myself, you know what, I'm going to increase my Instagram by 10,000 followers. And off I go and I start a more active Instagram campaign. And that means getting back to daily posting and doing all the things that Instagram likes. When you stop, you will see the decline.
Well, it stops.
It stops. My account at the moment is very stagnant, and we'll get into that because are in a different phase, and we'll talk about that too. But this phase is around when you want to grow an audience so that eventually you can, you know, sell products to that audience and market what you do to that audience.
Totally. And it makes so much sense when you sit down with a cup of tea and you think about it. You know, if you say, right, you're going to spend 12 months. So let's talk about the first few items. In the first 12 months or 24 months, you're going to figure out what art you like. You're going to practice that art. And then over that time, you're going to start sharing on Instagram, figuring out how it works, posting every day, growing an audience. So by the time you come out of your 24 months, you could be sitting on 3,000 or 5,000 followers. And then you can make a conscious decision to say, right, I'm going to start selling when I hit 10,000. So you push that big push into 10,000 and then you move on to sales. By that time, you'll have a really, really good skill set. You'll probably have developed a style that's yours and you'll have an audience to sell to.
Yeah. And if you have a part-time job or some kind of source of income that takes the pressure off you so you don't have to sell, then that works really well, which is why we often say, you know, hang on to your day job while you are going through this phase so that once you start selling and you boost that income, then you can let go of the other source of income. It just makes it so much easier. At some point, you do need to let go of the day job, but don't do it too early because it's much easier to focus on growing your audience when you don't have that pressure. And when you have a bigger audience, it's much easier to sell and eventually make income as an artist. So that's what I wanted to say. Let's just talk a little bit about growing your audience and the different ways you can do it, because I feel like we've only touched on Instagram. Instagram is a funny old platform that brings up mixed feelings in artists and in myself. And I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in the one basket. I still feel like Instagram is a very good platform for artists. There's been, you know, a lot of discomfort from artists around the changes that have been happening with Instagram, and I can understand that too. I have felt that as well. There is a push towards video content. You know, not all artists have those skills or want to have those skills in video.
But it's just another reminder that Instagram doesn't belong to you. And you have zero control. So when you're starting out on this journey, the sooner you learn that and become more aware of that, the better you will be.
Yeah, and I've had a few situations with Instagram. Not many, but I had one not that long ago where I couldn't access my account for 24 hours.
Your face.
And oh my goodness, I went into such a spin. And I think it was because I was overly active or something like that. I'd done too many things at once. But yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, what's happened here? And I've certainly seen other artists have things like that happen on Facebook as well. So you just need to be very careful. So I like to think of Instagram as the gateway to getting people over to your website and your email list, particularly an email list. It's never too early to start collecting names for an email list. You only need a simple sign-up form. You can do that with Flowdesk, which is what I use, and you can start getting those names down so that then if you ever decide to change platforms, then you can bring people over. So if you switch off of Instagram into who knows what's going to be next, we don't know. there's probably going to be something new in the future, and you want to be able to shift your audience over to that. So that's a really important part, is to start gathering email list, email names, so that you can communicate. And in the beginning, don't sell to your email list. Give them things, give them information, give them encouragement, give them art to look at, give them process. Just start providing value, you know, building that relationship and building trust. Thoughts on other platforms? So we still like Instagram, and we're not big fans of YouTube.
No.
No. There are a lot of challenges with growing an art business on YouTube. There is a very high expectation around what content you will put out, like what quality you need to put out to stand out, but also how often. Creating video in itself is very time consuming. You can put a photograph up onto Instagram and still get very high engagement. I have some posts on my Instagram that are just photographs of my art, and they're the ones that are doing really well. So I am not worried too much about the changes with Instagram, because I'm not seeing that in my feed. I'm still seeing photographs performing very well. But with YouTube, there is so much work and people expect it for free, and you get into that cycle. And the YouTube algorithm is really dependent on you posting regularly. Like, the income that you make from YouTube diminishes the minute you sort of stop. And that's hard. You may have a catalog of videos, but it's not a huge earner. It's hard to earn a lot of money on YouTube.
If you think posting every day on Instagram is tough, make three quality free videos a week so you can grow a base on YouTube. It's a very, I'm not saying don't go that way. If your heart's set on YouTube, go.
But I was thinking there's probably someone here who's just started a YouTube channel.
Yeah. If your heart is set on YouTube, yeah, go
again,
for it.
It comes back to that, if you want it enough, mm-hmm. if you want it. I mean, YouTube is a beautiful platform. I love watching really well-created content on YouTube. And I think it's beautiful that people spend time developing those skills and delivering that to us. So yeah, if you're interested in filmmaking and that side of things, then YouTube is wonderful. You just need to really want it and be aware that YouTube is very difficult to make income over the long term without burning out.
Yes.
So that's what I wanted to say about YouTube. And I think if you watch YouTube, you'll hear many YouTubers talking about burnout and the challenges of the platform.
If you're making videos for your community, you're not making art.
That's the other side. Like, YouTube is a video platform, and so you're going to need to spend a lot of time on the video side of things to make it work. So regardless of which way you go and which platform you choose, you need to go all in with it while you're in this phase. You set goals, post consistency, up your game with content, keep an eye on trends. You know, that's how you will grow an audience on any of these platforms. So I want to be realistic about what's involved, and you do need to look and see what other people are doing, see what's resonating. You don't necessarily need to do everything. For example, if you decide that Instagram is your platform, do you need to start making entertaining reels?
No.
You don't.
No.
You can still make choices on the platform. You know, when Instagram promotes something or pushes it, you can decide whether you want to go there, because there are other options. You need to do something. So you need to go, okay, I'm not going to do reels, but I will do some videos on my feed. You need to do some of the things, but not all of the things. And it's not a case of Instagram says, you know, jump, and you say how high. You need to have some kind of confidence in the way that you express yourself on the platform, because that will engage with people. When people see that you are being authentic and doing what is right for you, it's going to be more engaging. I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's no way in the world I'm going to start doing
jump scares.
The kind of reels that are on Instagram that are very entertaining, comedy kind of stuff. And it's not to say I don't enjoy watching them. I do. But it's not me. It's not my personality. It's not for me. So I just wanted to mention that because you don't need to follow all the trends, but you do need to be consistent.
Just follow the trends that suit your style. So if it's reels, just move your time lapses into some form of a reel. If Instagram say, okay, we're going from 1 minute to 2 minute videos, slow down your time lapse. Adjust what you're already doing.
That's a really good point because you can make all kinds of different reels. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to be a comedian or a dancer. You can do wonderful reels about your process. You can just slow down, as you say, a bit of your painting, put it to some music. There are many different ways that you can adapt what you are already doing to whatever feature comes up.
Yeah, and look, if you want to have fun with it, and you, let's say you have a goldfish, well, you just make sure your goldfish is in every reel. Like, yeah. It doesn't and back to your painting.
Yes.
So at some stage in your painting video, your goldfish turns up. Like, yeah. If you want to do something.
Yeah, and you can certainly do something fun. You know, play around with it and do something entertaining or something that's a bit niche to you. Be creative with it.
But just remember, when people are on their Instagram and they're scrolling through all these reels of people doing voiceovers and comedy sketches, they go to your Instagram page because they trust that when they get there, they won't be seeing that. They'll be seeing your art. And if they see you doing a hopscotch dance, they may just roll their eyes and unfollow.
Yeah, and you know what? I do feel like it's going to come full circle because, you know, anything new has its moment. And I know that I'm starting to get a little bit tired of reels already. Like, I'm already kind of getting bored of that concept. So stay true to what you believe in. Stay true to your art, your personality, your style, and, you know, adapt things to suit that rather than jumping all into something just because it's the latest thing. So you're going to spend quite a long time building your audience so that you have some numbers. And, you know, when I launched my first online class, and this figure could be wrong, I'm not 100% sure, but I have a feeling I had about 40,000 Instagram followers. So
take it back from the course and go to your first market.
Yeah, I don't know how many I had. Maybe 10,000. Maybe 10,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was time spent building to sell my art, maybe 10,000 followers before I started selling, and then, you know, 40,000, maybe 30,000 before I released an online course.
I just remember being shocked when we set the market up and two people turned up like before the market started and they were like, yeah, we're here from Instagram.
A huge part of the success that I had at markets was through promoting where I was going to be via Instagram and building a local audience in Adelaide where we live. But I used Instagram to communicate and I didn't even have an email list at that point. I started to grow my email list at markets. I always had like a little
pen and paper
where people would sign up. But I reckon maybe 100 or so people on my list at that point. Yeah, so once you have that audience, you can then direct people to various places. And this is where you move into the selling phase, the marketing and selling. And I mean, we could talk for hours about the different ways that you can market and sell because there are so many options. You know, you can sell original pieces directly through Instagram. You can set up an online shop. You can sell prints. You can sell downloadable prints. You can do commissions. You can license your work. You can have affiliate income. You can, you know, you have YouTube income if you go in that direction. What else can you do?
Markets, just trying to think. Galleries.
Art fairs. Yeah, galleries. There are many, many different sources of income that you can explore. Without making this podcast too long, I want to mention three types of income that you should be thinking about if you want your art business to be a long-term endeavor that you can make, you know, a good bit of money from. Scalable income, passive income, and multiple sources of income. When I was chatting with Jenny Grant, I'm going to slip these conversations in because I think they're really good ones to listen to, so go back to the artist interviews. She talked about when she created her first online course and was very honest about the reason why, and it was scalability. You can create one online course about how you paint and your creative process, and you can sell it to as many people as you want. So the same amount of effort, roughly, obviously if you've got, you know, lives and you've got an engagement side to your course, it will vary a bit. But, you know, you can sell that course to 10 people or you could sell it to 1,000 people. And when it comes to your art, scalability could look like selling prints, particularly if you outsource printing and the, you know, the process, because it can be quite intensive with work if you were doing it yourself on your printer at home, which we did. Scaling it up could involve outsourcing it to a print lab, having a process where you have another company that, you know, ships it out and fulfills the orders. You won't make as much money, but it could be working in the background so that you don't have to put in the effort. Like once you've uploaded your files to wherever you are selling from, you might be able to have pretty minimal input into it. But some of those websites, the return is very low. So if you are looking at things like Redbubble and Society6 and things like that, income that you get is going to be fairly small when you do it that way. So that's something to keep in mind. And that's similar to the next thing, passive income. So that's really the effort involved. And every time you make a decision around how you are going to sell your work, this is something that you should ask yourself. How much energy does it take? What is the return of the investment of my time and my materials, my costs? Like, be very realistic, because some things just aren't worth it. And it's going to take a little bit of experimentation to figure out what works and what ways that you can increase that passive and scalable income. The other day I was at a yoga class and the yoga teacher did an in-person class, but she also recorded that class on her iPhone on a tripod and sells that as an online class as well. So there are ways that you can create more passive and scalable sources of income while still doing sort of the more hands-on, so creating efficiencies. And then multiple sources of income. It's always good to have options, particularly in the uncertain world that we live in. So we've had artists that were dependent on running in-person workshops that couldn't do that anymore during COVID and had to switch into online workshops. You know, galleries were closed. You know, we've had artists talk about moving everything into their online shop on the website in a hurry, having to, you know, try and get everything listed so that they could sell online. So it's important to have some different things going on so that you can use things as you need. So, you know, I probably haven't explained that well, but what I mean is, you know,
you're diversifying inside your own.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have too many though. You know, you don't want to be doing everything and having all these tiny little bits of income, because with every little bit of income that comes from a different source, you've got a whole lot of work that goes with that. Different systems, different accounting, and it can become very complicated. You're increasing your admin by having all these different things. Whereas if you perhaps had even just two or three, we don't have many anymore. We started with quite a lot.
With lots, but you need to do them all to realize which work and
yes,
which don't
there
work.
Yes, there is a trial and error kind of phase. There is a distinction to be made between whether you are going to focus on selling your art or teaching, because they're two quite different things. Selling your art on its own is hard. Like, it is harder. Combining teaching with selling your art is a much easier way to get a more sustainable income. You know, it might be that you run workshops, in-person workshops, or do some kind of online teaching. You know, most of the artists we talked about in last season did some form of teaching in order to help their business be healthy. I would suggest, if you are teaching, to look towards teaching on your own platform. I mean, I use Teachable, but what I mean by that is I would focus on building an audience first so that you can then sell courses directly to your audience and maintain some control and also income. Because as soon as you move on to things like YouTube, Skillshare, and, you know, other platforms like that, they can help you build an audience, but they are very competitive and it's quite difficult to make a considerable income off those places.
Yes, and doing a video for, you know, one of those artist groups, you know,
the collaborative groups. Yeah, groups.
They're a great idea, but if I could give a tiny bit of advice, if your first video is for a collaborative company or...
So this is where you create an online course for another platform or another artist that's organizing a course.
Who has a bigger audience and a bigger reach.
Yeah.
Now, if you do your very first video for that group or person, when people see your video, they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do more of her stuff. And then they'll come back and there'll be nothing there. So it's a really good idea to do those things, but make sure you have a couple in the bag.
Well, that's ideal. And every now and then you might want to do one of those collaborations. Mm-hmm. That's a good grow your audience strategy.
Yes.
So, you know, if things are sort of ticking along and perhaps you aren't seeing the sales figures that you used to see, then you can go back into growing your audience and go back into that phase and look at, okay, how can I collaborate? Because collaboration is a great way to grow your audience because you tap into someone else's audience and, you know, they might be interested in similar things. And so we didn't mention that so much in the grow your audience phase, but it's a crucial part, collaborating. Yeah. So once you've decided on a few different avenues that you will explore for selling your work, you will need to go deep on learning how to market and sell and all that sort of stuff. So I can't stress enough that you will need to take some time out to learn about marketing. And there are some wonderful podcasts, you know, a couple that come to mind. Amy Porterfield, really good to listen to. Jenna Kutcher, I've listened to some of her podcasts to learn about list building and how you can use your list to market your products or whatever it is that you are selling. So I would be spending some time listening to business-focused podcasts and art ones that cover those kind of topics. And it's interesting because as you move through these stages, the focus of your learning will change. So at the beginning, you'll be learning art skills, art techniques, and then you will move into learning how to grow your audience. So that will be more about just increasing your followers, your email list, and then you're going to move into how to market to those people, which is when you would learn about things like copywriting, how to create Facebook ads and all that fun stuff, you know, designing your website in an appealing kind of way. So, you know, those sorts of skills. So all the time you are going to be learning, but the focus of your learning and your education will change. That certainly happened to me. The types of podcasts that I listen to, they change depending on what phase I'm in. When I am in need to kind of knuckle down, Laura, and grow my audience, then I'll go back and I'll listen to podcasts about growing your audience on Instagram. And then when I need to do a launch, I will listen to podcasts about how to launch an online course. Just a little refresher, a little reminder on how to do this. Even though I've done it a few times, sometimes I just need that re-education. So yeah, your learning is going to shift. And that's why it's good to settle into each phase as it happens, rather than trying to learn all of these things all at once. So then once you have started selling, and I would always recommend starting small, you know, small collection of artwork, small online course, small workshop, and then you can grow. You can create a bigger online course. You can sell more work in more places. Start small and see how things go, test the waters and pay attention into what's working and what's not working. You're going to learn along the way. You'll put out a collection and it will sell. You might try something else, a different style slightly, and it doesn't sell. At the end of the day, you do need to notice what's happening, adjust accordingly, but still stay true to yourself. So it is a fine line. You don't want to just see something that's happening out there and then jump on that, because you'll never really succeed if you do that all the time, because you're not innovating, you're not leading, you're following all the time. So pay attention to trends, but stay true to yourself along the way. So let's just talk about the final stage. And this is where you have established your audience, you have some products, you are selling, you're probably a bit tired.
Probably. You're most definitely tired. You're exhausted.
You might be questioning, why did I start this in the first place? And this is where you need to get back to well-being and sustainability and maintenance. And it might take you a while. In fact, you cracked a joke recently with me saying something like, I've just spent this whole year recovering from the 9 years that I've been building the art business. Because it was hard and it did involve a lot of work. And this year, I've been able to slow down, pull back. I don't post all the time on Instagram. I take longer breaks. We pause the podcast. We are able to shift and maneuver things in a way that we couldn't when we first started. So there is a gift at the end if you hang in there, and that is that you have built up an audience, you have built up trust, and you can pull back every now and then, and you can adjust what you are doing. And at any time, you can go back into one of these phases. So recently on the podcast, I chatted about reaching a point where I feel like my art needs to change, you know, the style needs to change a bit. And that's because, you know, we've moved house, my environment's changed, and I'm feeling a bit different about life in general. So for me, it's almost like I need to jump back into stage one, you know, start maybe, you know, painting regularly, daily posting, go back to the beginning, take some courses, borrow some books from the library, and rejuvenate my art, change directions. So if you change directions, you've almost got to go back to stage one. You know, there might be other phases in your art journey where you look at your bottom line and you're like, you know what, not really, the money's not really coming in at the moment. I need to do something. And that's where you go back to, okay, I need to look at growing my audience again. I need to get some new people in or re-engage with existing people, which is easier. And so you go back to your grow your audience stuff and you start Instagram posting and list building. And the other thing is once you have built your audience, they become engaged with you as a person, you as an artist, and they're actually interested in your shifts and changes. And many of them will come along for the ride. They'll be excited by new directions in your art. And some of them won't. Some of them will leave you. But when you shift directions, you invite a new audience in. And you see how you then have to step back into these different stages. And if you go in a completely different art direction, you're going to have to spend some time refining your style again and getting clear about what you are doing. And so it's not a linear process. There isn't a set beginning and an end. These stages all overlap. But it's quite helpful to think about them and to break them down into categories so that you can recognize when is the right time to enter one of these areas again. So with that said, I think what we'll do is just do a really quick recap of mm-hmm. what they are. Hopefully this episode has been helpful.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
It's been a good old chat anyway. Mm. So the stages are, number one, learn skills. The second stage is to refine your style. The third stage is to grow your audience. And the fourth stage is to market and sell. So begin to sort of test out those different products and ideas and figure out what works. And the final stage is sustain and maintain. And that stage is really about longevity as an artist. It's about being there for the long term. And because of that, you will need to take breaks and be able to pause. And there will be periods when your Instagram won't grow. And it's about getting comfortable with that and knowing that you can go back to any of the other stages at any point in order to give things a boost. So at that point, you have a lot more control. And that's the wonderful thing about it, because you are using all these platforms, but you are in the driving seat. It's not about feeling like you have to do this or you have to do that. You get to mix it up and try things and turn things on and turn things off and take a break and have a pause. So it's a very challenging road with these phases. There's a lot of hard work, but it's wonderful. It's a brilliant way to live. And we're all about people enjoying their creative journey and taking a chance, taking risks on this, but being realistic about what's involved.
Yeah, and let your loved ones know that this is what you're deciding to do. If we haven't said it a million times, it's hard work and it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. And if the people who love you and who are around you, if they don't take your, in inverted commas, hobby seriously, they will start to develop resentments of you being on your phone and being tired all the time and, you know, asking for extra help in the kitchen or putting the kids to bed or whatever, you know, or not being able to go to that party or being having to say no to somebody because you're working on this business, because that's what it is. It's not a hobby anymore. It's a business, and you need to let the people around you know that that's what you're working on. Because if they see you on your phone with your head down just on Instagram, you've asked me to make dinner or get the kids ready for bed, and now you're just coming in and sitting on your phone. Like, they're the kind of thoughts that go through your partner's head. But when you start to realize that, no, hang on a second, this is very important to her. This is her business. This is her dream. Then it's easier to support it.
That is a really good point. One thing I just wanted to add as well is, take good care of yourself throughout this, because I do feel like there's a strong message that we're sending, like you're going to have to work hard. But if you work so hard that you then burn out, you'll never get to the final stages we talk about, where you are able to take, you know, longer breaks and you have got passive income and it is scalable. You won't get there. So you need to work hard, but also take good care of yourself, particularly around the fundamentals of health. So things like getting good night's sleep, taking walks and those sorts of things. You need to build that in, but be realistic about the time that you have for that.
If when you start on this journey, you're enjoying it, you're pushing hard, you're hitting your targets, everything's going great, but then for whatever reason, you find yourself falling out of love with your art, or the stress at home is too much, or you feel you're not being there for your kids or your friends or your employer or whatever, it's okay to say, well, I gave it a go and it's not for me and I'm just going to paint because I love to paint. That's fine too. Yeah, just a quote from that book, The Backyard Adventurer. You know, when he finished the book, when he was finished all of his adventures, he came to the conclusion that any adventure or any journey that we embark on, you should enjoy the journey so much that no matter where you stop on that journey, you should be happy.
That's a really good, it's a really good point.
Yeah. Stop fixating on the destination. Because if you don't make it, you'll be upset.
Yes.
But what he was saying was that it's nothing to do with the destination at all, that you should be able to just stop on that journey anytime and say, I really enjoyed that.
I feel like we could talk about this all day. It's such a deep and interesting conversation. And I was chatting with our daughter the other day when we were going for a walk. She was reflecting a little bit on some of the changes that I've made around lifestyle and the goals that I've set around yoga and walking and all that sort of stuff. Because as I've shifted into that stage of sustain and maintain, I've had a lot more time to focus on health and well-being. But what she said to me was, you know what, Mum, I've realized it's really important to have a goal. It's really important. Like, I see the way that you get excited and pumped up when you are working towards something. And it's not about the destination. It's about enjoying the little wins along the way, the progress, the confidence building. goal setting and the word goal has sort of got a little bit of a, well, I feel like in the art world, we kind of look down on goal setting. It's all too businessy for us. But having goals is so important. It's all about purpose, like having purpose. And if you set yourself goals along the way with all of these things, you will feel the satisfaction of achieving things, and that will propel you forwards. So, yeah, I feel like goals, setting goals around all the different areas is really key. Anyway.
Spiritual goals.
Spiritual goals as well, yeah, yes, absolutely. Well, that's it for this week. I hope that it's been a helpful episode, no matter where you are on your art journey, and that you'll tune in again next time. Thanks, everyone. Have a lovely week.